And we began a series of studies dealing with some of the great journeys of faith that are found in the Bible. And you remember we said this is an important thing because without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us that. And so we can learn some things from these journeys of faith that the Lord would have for us to learn. And so we began last week, we saw the journey of faith dealing with Noah's journey to Mount Ararat. And now in our study today, we want to talk about another journey of faith, and it's a journey that's going to lead to the land of Egypt. A journey that's going to lead to the land of Egypt. Now let me begin this morning by saying that everybody in their lifetime is going to experience times of crisis. You're going to experience times of trouble. In fact, someone has very well said that every person is either in a time of trouble, or they are coming out of a time of trouble, or they are fixing to enter a time of trouble, but all of us are going to face trouble in our life. In fact, the Bible makes that point very, very clear. You remember in the book of Job, chapter 5 and verse number 7, Job said, "Man is born unto trouble." And notice that this being born to trouble, it is just as sure and it is just as certain as it is that the sparks fly upward. Remember at National Day, the barbecue, when they were fanning the fires to get the charcoals going, right? And those sparks all did what? Well, they went up. I mean, that's just an actual fact. And it's also an actual fact that man that is born is going to have trouble in his life. Another verse that we find, same idea, Job 14 verse 1. Man that is born of woman is a few days, and those few days are full of trouble. You can just mark it down. And the truth of these two verses is certainly seen in the life of a young man that we're going to be dealing with today. And of course, that young man is man Joseph. Certainly Joseph understood the truth that was stated by Job. In fact, as you read the story of Joseph, Genesis chapter 30, all the way through to Genesis chapter 50. Don't worry, we're not going to look at all of that today, okay? But as you read through his story, you find that even though he was loved by his father, he was hated by his brothers. He was hated by his brothers. The record shows how that Joseph proved his loyalty to his father and by revealing the wicked deeds of his brothers. You can read about that in Genesis 37, verse 2 and verse 3. And as a result of that, Jacob gave to Joseph a coat of many colors. Now, that was more than just a pretty coat. That coat of many colors actually showed that Joseph had been given the position of authority in the house of Jacob that was normally reserved for the firstborn son. Joseph was next to the lastborn son. And yet here he is given this coat of many colors and he's exalted to a place of leadership and authority in the home of Jacob because of his loyalty and his faithfulness to his dad. And so because of that, he was hated by his brothers. He was betrayed and sold into slavery. And yet he was loyal to his master. Joseph was a man who withstood temptations. And his reward for withstanding the temptation to do wrong was he was falsely accused and cast into prison. And he was also helpful to others, even though the ones that he helped forgot him. And that's the life of Joseph. A life that was certainly filled with all kinds of trouble, all kinds of suffering. And yet in the midst of all of that, we find that Joseph was a man who remained faithful to God. He didn't give up on God. He didn't become discouraged or angry with God. He just remained faithful to God, in spite of the difficulties that he faced. And because of his faithfulness, there came a day when Joseph was promoted by God. He was promoted by God, made to be the number two man in all of the land of Egypt. In fact, the Egyptian Pharaoh himself, here's what he said to Joseph, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled." In other words, not only was Joseph given authority in the house of Pharaoh, he was given authority in the kingdom over which Pharaoh ruled. And he said, "You're going to be over my house, you're going to be over my nation. Only in the throne," Pharaoh said, "will I be greater than thou." And so in our study together this morning, I want us to consider this man Joseph. I want us to see how his faith in God grew even when his life was filled with all kind of trouble, all kind of disappointments, and all kind of sorrow. And there's three things that we want to notice together very quickly for the next few minutes. I think things that we can learn from the life of Joseph. And so let me begin by saying that as we consider the life of this man Joseph, I think the first thing that we can say is that it was a journey of faith. It was a journey of faith. Now we know that faith begins in the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. Faith begins by hearing what God has said. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul made very clear when he said in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the very same thing was true in the life of Joseph. His journey was a journey of faith, and the reason he had faith was because he listened to the Word of God. Notice a couple of things here. First of all, he received God's revelation. He received God's revelation when he was 17 years old. 17 years old, Genesis chapter 37 verse 2 tells us, when he was 17 years old, the Bible says that Joseph dreamed a dream in chapter 37 verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream. Now you understand that in those days there was no Bible, right? There was no Bible. Moses hadn't written the Pentateuch yet. The Apostle Paul hadn't even been thought of yet. And so there was no Bible back in those days. And so therefore it was a common thing that when God wanted to make His will known to men, that He would many times speak to them in dreams. Now let me just tell you that today that doesn't happen. We have God's Word, and it's a completed Word, and so God does not speak to us today in dreams. If you have some kind of amazing dream, it's probably because you ate too much pizza before you went to bed. It's not from God, okay? It's not from God. But back in those days, they didn't have the Word of God. And so it was a common thing that God would speak to men in dreams. In fact, as you go through the book of Genesis in chapter 20, verse 3 to verse 6, we find that there was a man by the name of Abimelech, and God spoke to him in a dream, the Bible says. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 10 and verse 11, God spoke to Jacob, the father of Joseph. He spoke to Jacob in a dream. And in Genesis chapter 31 verse 24, God spoke to a fellow by the name of Laban. And he spoke to him by way of a dream. And in the very same way, God spoke to Joseph. And he spoke to him in dreams. Spoke to him in dreams. And from the context, it is apparent. It's apparent from the context that Joseph was spiritually mature enough to understand that this was more than just a good dream that he had. It was actually something God was revealing to him about his future. And so as we look at this together, I want you to notice that this dream that Joseph had, it was dreams that were given to him by the Lord God. And then I want you to notice, not only did he receive the revelation that God gave, but letter B, he recited God's revelation. He recited it. Verse number 5 of chapter 37, Joseph dreamed a dream and kept his mouth shut. No, Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren. He told other people what God had revealed to him. Told other people what God had taught him. Now I want you to notice the revelation that he received and the revelation that he recited. Notice the first dream, we find it in Genesis 37 verse 7. Joseph dreamed and said, "Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheave." In other words, they're out harvesting grain, they're tying the grain in bundles together, called sheaves, and all of a sudden, as they're doing this work out in the field, Joseph's sheave stands upright. And then the sheaves that his brothers were working on, they also stand up, and then they bow down to his sheave. And his brothers weren't real keen about the idea of what that dream said. But then there came a second dream. In verse number 9 of chapter 37, the Bible says, "And he dreamed yet another dream." Dreams another dream. "And he told it to his brethren and said, 'Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars.'" Now, we're not going to take time to get into it, but the sun is dealing with his father, the moon is his mother, and the 11 stars are his 11 brethren. That's what that symbolizes. That's what that represents. And so he said, "I dreamed a dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, the 11 stars made obeisance unto me." They bowed down before me. And of course, these wonderful revelations from the Lord God to Joseph were certainly not appreciated by his family. In fact, in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 8, the Bible says that it was because of these dreams that his brothers hated him. And it was because of that second dream, which said that his father and mother was going to bow down to him, that his own father, in chapter 37, verse 10, rebuked him. His own father rebuked him. Now here's the point I want us to observe here. When you begin to get into God's Word, and when I begin to get into God's Word, and our faith begins to grow, it will normally be those who are the closest to us who are going to stand in opposition against us. Have you noticed that to be true? Some of you have already gone through that. Some of you have already experienced that. But the closer you get to God and the more you begin to live for God and walk in obedience to the Word of God, it is a generally true statement that the ones who will oppose you the most and the strongest are going to be those who are the closest to you. In other words, you're going to be your own family. In fact, the Lord Jesus spoke of that very thing. Over in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 4, Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor." In other words, a prophet, wherever he goes, he's going to be honored by other people because he is a prophet. So a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. That's why I had to come to Singapore. I get no respect in America. Okay? He said he's a prophet not without, except in his own country and among his own kin. That's his own family and in his own house. Again, some of you have already experienced this, and some of you may yet find this fact to be true, but just mark it down. As you get into the Word of God, and as you allow the Word of God to begin to work in your heart, and it begins to change your life, and it begins to change your priorities, you are going to face opposition, and it will generally come from those who are the closest to you. In fact, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now notice he didn't say all Christians are going to suffer persecution. Because there's a lot of Christians who are Christians, but you would never know it by the way they live. Right? There's a lot of Christians who know the Lord, but you would never guess it in 1,000 years by the priorities that they have in their life. In fact, they're just like the world. You never can see the difference. But when you begin to live godly in Christ Jesus, and you begin to put Him first, and His Word is the way that you go, then you will suffer persecution. And yet, in spite of all of that, we see Joseph is growing in his faith because he is listening to the Word of God. So it was a journey of faith that came as a result of Joseph listening to the Word that God revealed to him. Now I want you to notice the second thing that we find here, and that is this. Not only was it a journey of faith, but it was a journey of faithfulness. It was a journey of faithfulness. After he was sold by his brothers, and you remember the story, how that Joseph is sold by his brothers to some merchants who then carried him down into Egypt. Then he was sold again as a slave, as a servant, to a certain fellow by the name of Potiphar, who happened to be a high-ranking official in the court of Pharaoh. And Joseph, though, was the kind of man. Joseph was the kind of man who had a godly character. And one of the characteristics that you notice when you see men who have a godly character, their godly character is not so much revealed by how they talk. Because anybody can talk a good game for a little while. Anybody can put together the right words, and they can sound real pious when they come to church on Sunday for about an hour. If it goes longer than an hour, they might have to tighten up a little bit, you understand. But Joseph was the kind of, his godly character wasn't seen in the way he talked, but his godly character was seen in his faithfulness to duty. His faithfulness to duty. He always had shown himself faithful in the house of his father, and his character, get this, his character was not changed by his circumstances. His character was not changed by his circumstances. Just as the quality of gold is revealed in the refiner's fire, the reality of our faithfulness will be revealed by the way we respond to the fires of trouble and the fires of testing and the fires of difficulties that come into our lives. That's where our character is going to be revealed. Our character is not made by the fire, it's revealed in the fire. That's the thing that we need to understand. And that's exactly what we find happening in the life of Joseph. His character of faithfulness is seen in, first of all, the way he served, letter A, in Potiphar's house. The way he served in Potiphar's house. And I want you to notice a couple of things that the Bible tells us about the way he served there in the house of Potiphar. Let's notice, first of all, his service. His service. In verse number 3 of chapter 39, as Joseph is serving in the house of Potiphar, the Bible says that his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now he's just a slave, he's just a servant, he's been bought with a price, and he's just one of the hired or the bought servants in the house. And yet when Potiphar looks at his servants, he sees there's something different about this fellow. And he sees that everything this man does, it seems to be blessed by God. And he says the master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And so when Potiphar saw the service of Joseph, it was not a service that was just done to stay out of trouble. It was a service that was actually done with the blessings of God upon it. And so we see his service. Not only that, because of his service, we see a second thing that goes on in the house of Potiphar, and that's his promotion. His promotion. In chapter 39, verse number 4, the Bible says, Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. In other words, Joseph has shown himself to be such a faithful man in his service that Potiphar now promotes him and puts him in charge of all of his house. Of all of his house. Everything he has, he puts into the hand of Joseph. He trusts him with everything that he has. Now, to show you the extent of that, look at this. Chapter 39, verse 6 tells us that he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. In other words, if you were to walk up to Mr. Potiphar and say, Mr. Potiphar, what is your bottom line? What's your net worth? How much you have? His answer would be, I don't know. But this is what I do know. I got a table full of food here. And I've got enough for this meal. And I'm going to enjoy this and whatever else. I don't know. You'll have to check with Joseph. He's in charge of all of that. He's in charge of all. He left everything. Everything in the hand of Joseph. He was promoted over all of Potiphar's house. The promotion. Then I want you to notice a third thing. A third thing. And that is his temptation. Anytime God is blessing you, you can rest assured that Satan is going to show up and he's going to tempt you. And he's going to try to undo what you are doing that is bringing honor and glory to the Lord God. He's going to try to mess that up. And so Satan shows up. The Bible says in chapter 39, verse 7, that it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. In other words, the temptation is to enter into an immoral relationship. To enter into a relationship that would not only bring shame upon himself, but it would bring shame upon his master, bring shame upon his God. And so you remember the story in Genesis chapter 39, verse 8. Joseph refused to listen to her. He refused to allow the temptation to take root in his heart. And so he would not even listen to her. In fact, he determined that he would not sin against his master. He is not going to sin against his God. And in order to make sure that that does not happen, not only did he refuse to listen to her, he refused to be around her. You know why many times we get into trouble when we're tempted to sin? It's because we say, okay, now that's a sin. I shouldn't do that. And so I'm going to walk away from it. Come on, sin. Come on. Come on. Yeah. And what we do is we actually encourage the sin. Because we won't separate from it. We want to hang around it. Joseph said, no. I'm not going to sin against my master. I'm not going to sin against my God. And just to make sure that I don't, I'm not even going to hang around the source of the temptation. I'm going to separate myself from that. Every young person, every adult needs to listen to this advice. Need to listen to this advice. Separate from it. Don't get around it. Finally, there came the day when Mrs. Potiphar caught him in the house. You caught him alone. He's in there doing his work, going about his duty, fulfilling his responsibilities. She comes in, she catches him there alone, and no one else is around, the Bible says in chapter 39, verse 11. And so she comes in, she finds him there, and the Bible says in chapter 39, verse 12, that she caught him by his garment. In other words, she grabs a hold of his coat and she says, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In other words, as someone has very well said, Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. He lost his coat, but he kept his character. And by the way, our character, let me say it again, our character is not created during the times when we are tested, and it is also not created during the times when we are tempted. That is not when our character is created. Our character is created before the temptation. It is revealed during the temptations that we face. That's why we need to get into God's Word. When there are no temptations to do wrong, that's when we need to get into God's Word and begin asking God to build in us a godly character and a holy character. And we need to be working on that and striving for that so that when the temptation comes, it's too late in the time of temptation to start trying to build character. That's too late. The time to build character is before the temptation, so that when the temptation comes, your character will be able to stand up and do what's right in the face of the temptation, you see. And then we see number four. We see his indictment. Joseph is falsely accused. He's falsely accused. That wicked woman has in her hand the evidence that she needs. "See, I have his coat here," she said. "I have his coat, and here's what he did, and here's what I did, and here's what's happened." And as a result of that, Joseph was falsely accused of forcing himself on Potiphar's wife. You can read it, chapter 39, verse 17, verse 18. And as a result of the false accusations that were brought against him, in verse number 20, the Bible says that Joseph found himself in the prison. He finds himself in the prison where the king's prisoners were kept. And as you go through the story, you find the result of this was that Joseph began to look up to heaven. And Joseph said, "What's the point of being faithful to God? I've been faithful to Him all these years, and look how He has failed me. I've been faithful, and look what has happened to me." Is that what happened? No. No, that's not what happened at all. Notice, not only do we see his faithfulness in Potiphar's house, we also see his faithfulness in the prison house. We see his faithfulness in the prison house. Look at it again in chapter 39, verse 22, verse 23. The Bible says that the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. In other words, everything that was done in the prison, Joseph was entrusted. Joseph was entrusted with the doing of it. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Have you ever been at work and a boss or a superior comes and says, "Okay, here's a job. Here's what I want you to do." Okay. And so you start trying to do the job that has been entrusted to you, and you can't do the job because every 2 seconds the boss is standing there looking over your shoulder. Yeah. That didn't happen. Joseph was such a faithful man, such a trustworthy man. The keeper of the prison said, "Okay, Joseph, do this." And then he didn't even check because he trusted Joseph. He trusted Joseph. He entrusted him. And the reason he trusted him, because just like Potiphar before, the prison keeper saw, did you notice what it says? The prison keeper saw that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. In other words, here's what I want you to see. The whole of Joseph's life, his whole life, regardless of the circumstances that he faced, regardless of the difficulties that he faced in his life, was marked, his whole life was marked by a faithfulness to his God and a faithfulness in performing his duties to others. His whole life is marked in that way. It's a journey of faithfulness. Boy, what a wonderful thing it would be if every member of Heritage Baptist Church, when people looked at our lives and they examined our lives, they would say, you know, I don't understand a whole lot about what so-and-so believes, but I'll tell you one thing, they are faithful in doing what they say they believe to be true. What a wonderful testimony that would be. That was the testimony of Joseph. He was a man of faithfulness. So it was a journey of faith. It was a journey of faithfulness. But then there's a third thing that I want us to notice very quickly here, and that is this. It was a journey of forgiveness. It was a journey of forgiveness as a result of his faithfulness in the prison house. Joseph is finally spoken of before the Pharaoh himself. It's an interesting story. You go back and you can read it for yourself. But as a result of the interview that transpired, Pharaoh spoke to Joseph. Here's what he said. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 40, Pharaoh said, "Thou shalt be over my house. According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne shall I be greater than thou." In other words, as we mentioned before, not only would Joseph rule over Pharaoh's house, he would rule over Pharaoh's nation. And as a result of that, he was given a royal ring to wear on his hand. He was given a royal robe. He was given a royal necklace. You can find that in Genesis 41, verse number 42. In verse number 43, he rode in the second chariot. You know, in the States, we have Air Force One. That's the plane the president flies in, you know. I guess Air Force Two is for the vice president. I don't know. But anyway, he was in chariot number two, okay? He had the second chariot. And so not only did he ride in the second chariot, but he was also greatly honored by the Egyptians. In fact, the Bible says that as he would go through the streets riding in the royal chariot and wearing the royal garments that had been given to him, the Bible says in chapter 41, or chapter 42 and verse number 3, I'm sorry, 41. Okay, I skipped that verse. Here, they would cry out. And the people would cry out before him, "Bow the knee, bow the knee." And he made him to be ruler over all the land of Egypt. Then through a series of circumstances, the Bible says in chapter 42 and verse number 3 that Joseph's 10 brethren came down to buy corn in Egypt. And just as the Lord God had revealed to Joseph in that dream so many years before, his brothers humbled themselves and they bowed down before him. Just like the dream said. They bowed down before him, and then sometime later his father also comes down to Egypt through a series of circumstances, and he also bows before his son. And together they lived there the rest of his life in that nation that was ruled by Joseph. But then Jacob, who was also called Israel, Jacob dies. He dies there in the land of Egypt. And after he passes away, those brothers get together. And they started talking. And here's what they said. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us." Now, humanly speaking, he had a good reason to hate them because of what they had done to him. He, humanly speaking, he had good reason. Not only did he have a good reason to hate them, notice what else they said. They said that he will certainly requite us. That is, he's going to repay us. He's going to get even with us for all the evil which we did unto him. Now that would be a natural thing. That would be a natural thing. It would have been very natural, humanly speaking, to adopt the philosophy of a fellow by the name of Hendrik Hain, who said this. He said, we should forgive our enemies after they are hanged. We like that, don't we? I tell you what. Number two man in all of Egypt. Can you imagine the authority that he had? Can you imagine the power that he wielded? His brothers are absolutely right in fearing, humanly speaking, in fearing what this powerful brother is going to be able to do to them in response to what they had done to him. But I want you to notice Joseph. Again, he's made of better stuff. He's made of better stuff. I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, notice his faith in God's ways. His faith in God's ways. Here's what he said in chapter 50, verse 19, verse number 20. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. Now, had he stopped right there, they would have cause to worry. But he didn't stop there. He said, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. In other words, what Joseph was saying was simply this. All of your planning and all of your scheming and all of that, God has overridden that to accomplish His plan and His purpose. God has overridden it to accomplish His will. His faith in God's ways. Not only that, I want you to also notice His obedience to God's ways. In verse number 21, Joseph continues, and he says to them again, fear not. Here's the reason why. I will make your death quick and painless. It won't hurt too bad. Okay, No. Fear not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. That's a real sign of character, isn't it? It's a real sign of character. To be able to speak kindly to those who have done their utmost to hurt you, and yet to respond to them with gentleness, kindness, graciousness. That's exactly how we ought to respond. That's exactly how we ought to respond. In fact, that's what Jesus said, right? Remember what He said? Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Amen. Yes, we like that. But He didn't stop there. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them. That doesn't mean pray they will die. No. You pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The Apostle Paul spoke of the same thing. He said it this way. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to verse 21. Dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves. Avenge not yourselves. Rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, because that is true, because God is the one who is going to even the books, God is the one who is going to even the accounts, because that is true, and trusting that that is true, therefore, the Apostle Paul said, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil. In other words, don't allow the evil of other people to have victory in your life. Don't allow evil to overcome you, but rather you overcome the evil by doing good. See? By doing good. If Joseph had allowed his heart to be filled with anger, if Joseph had followed the natural route and allowed his heart to be filled with resentment toward his brothers and resentment toward Potiphar's wife who told such vicious lies about him, if he'd allowed his heart to be filled with vengeance toward Potiphar who unjustly and cruelly imprisoned him for crimes that he did not commit, Joseph would have spent all of his time scheming and planning and dreaming of ways to get even. And his life would have been a miserable waste. His life would have been a miserable waste. But because of Joseph's faith in God, he was led to the place of greatest service. From his throne in Egypt, he was used by the Lord God to relieve and to provide for God's chosen people, simply because he did not allow his circumstances to determine his character. Rather, he built a character that used the circumstances to serve God and to serve others. And may God help us to have a kind of faith that will put us in places where that we too may be used of God to serve Him and to serve others. Some wonderful lessons we can learn about from this journey of faith into the land of Egypt.